Hi, welcome to Stanlib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within Stanlib. The idea with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the most recent economic developments, and I think for this week we need to contrast US retail sales versus industrial production. Both of the numbers came out for September and they tell completely different stories, which I think is quite important to understanding the dynamic of the US economic performance. The other set of data, I think, relates to South Africa's retail sales. The numbers were revised up quite significantly. Plus, at the same time, the August retail sales data was quite strong, certainly stronger than what most people anticipated. All of that ahead of the two-pot system and the cut in interest rates. So, slightly better economic data coming out of South Africa in terms of household spending. So, from my perspective, two important areas to unpack in a little bit of detail. As I mentioned in the introduction, the US released their retail sales as well as their industrial production data last week for the month of September. And the numbers tell completely different stories. US retail sales remaining fairly buoyant, beating market expectations. Not by a huge amount, but certainly surprising on the upside. And I guess some of that support for the retail sector comes from the fact that the US keeps adding jobs at a fairly decent pace. If you remember, last month they added over 250,000 jobs, and the six-month average is sitting at around the 200,000 jobs a month level. And if you keep adding jobs at that sort of pace, reaching a record high in terms of employment, then obviously consumer spending is going to be fairly buoyant. And every single month we find that employment is going to another record high, and there doesn't seem to be anything that's really stopping that. Yes, you can argue that the pace of increase in employment has eased, but it remains fairly buoyant overall. And that gives the US economy a high degree of resilience and overall a decent economic performance. If you then contrast that with industrial production, those numbers are negative. Month on month declining, year on year down 0.5%. And in general, the manufacturing sector is pretty much in recession. Not a deep recession, certainly not a collapse, but it lacks the buoyancy that the retail sector has. So how do these two numbers coexist? The answer seems to be imports. If I look at the volume of imports coming into the US, particularly through the container shipping ports, it's huge. And the buildup for the end of the year season, which is now well underway, seems to be very substantial. A lot of those imports obviously are making their way in from China and other countries. And I guess that's feeding into the criticism from the Trump camp regarding the need to impose import duties. It's very clear that the US consumer doesn't buy locally manufactured goods the way you would anticipate. That doesn't mean that there isn't a base for US manufactured goods. There is, but they tend to be on the whole more expensive than imported items. And so the key component of the US retail sector is essentially imported. And I guess those two coexist as long as you allow for that level of imports. That gives us a focus on the US election and the outcome and whether there's a desire, political desire, to change that. The Trump, obviously, campaign has suggested significant import duties be imposed on all imports, not just from China, but with a special attention on China. Now, that can seem like a short-term solution, but it has longer-term implications, which I think are negative for everybody, including the US. So, from our perspective, the data, not too bad. It's pretty much the way we've been seeing it play out in the last year or two. But it does argue or does highlight that the US economy is essentially buoyed by consumer spending rather than industrial production. Area of data I think we need to focus on is South African retail sales. The data for August was released last week and are definitely surprised on the upside. Month on month, retail spending rose by 0.5%, and year on year, the number was up a very impressive 3.2%. In addition, the historical data was revised to the upside. And so now when we look at retail sector performance over the last 6 months, it is definitely a lot better. So that begs the question, why suddenly retail sales doing better? Interest rates have been elevated. We know that employment has been under some pressure. And I think there are a couple of factors that I would highlight. The first is that by reducing load shedding, it did encourage people to get out more. we know that during the time of extreme load shedding, many people were saying, well, I'd rather just order online. I don't want to go out. There are many shopping centers that don't have electricity. The traffic is congested. And we think that tended to stifle some of the retail activity. Now that load shedding has been removed, there seems to be more attendance at shopping centers. And shopping centers are reporting that foot traffic has improved. And naturally, when you're out at a shopping center, you may have some impulse buying going on. And I think that's helped to buoy retail sales to some extent. On top of that, I think there's also been a benefit from the lower inflation rate. In other words, if you look at some of the key categories, something like the fuel price, that has come down on now, I think, about 5 months in a row. And as you reduce the fuel price, what you are doing is essentially diverting money away from filling up your tank with petrol into going and purchasing some other items. And that clearly, I think, is buoying the retail sector. If you then add on top of that the fact that we had the election at the end of May and there were a large number of people that were employed as part of that election process, they tended to get paid in June. And so we saw the retail sales number in June rise by 4% year on year. So clearly there have been a couple of factors that have encouraged a little bit more consumer activity. What's important from my perspective is that it still is not yet reflecting the impact of the two-pot system, which only came into effect in September, and is still not reflecting the cut in interest rates, which started in September. And so that suggests that those two factors, the two-pot and the interest rate cutting, is going to buoy retail sales even further. And given that the numbers have gained a little bit of momentum in the past 3 to 6 months, it does argue that that component of the South African economy is probably going to have a very good end of the year season and start next year on a bit of a positive momentum. It's entirely feasible that that momentum can gain more traction, especially if we're able to implement some of the private-public partnership projects that have been discussed and are under planning stage at this stage. Obviously, we need to broaden out South Africa's growth rate more meaningfully. We can't simply rely on two-pot and interest rate cuts to drive the economy. We need to see that fixed investment gains traction. We need to see that there's a broader increase in employment. Confidence levels need to translate into actual real activity. But it's not a bad base to try and build that from. And if the consumer is feeling a bit more confident, a bit more buoyant, and gets some additional assistance, either from two-pot or interest rates, then it does form the foundation for a better economic performance during the course of next year. So I thought a good set of data, an interesting revision to the historical numbers, but it puts South Africa's growth trajectory on a firmer footing going into next year. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.